listening to Catnap Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone.
In today's show, I have Christina. Here's her story.
Well, thank you for the interview. My name is Maria Cristina Garcia. That's my maiden name. And I go by, here in the States, I go by Christina Kirkbride, my married name. I was born in Colombia. And I studied there. Then I came here to the States and to attend graduate school. I came in the 60s. And then before I came to the States, obviously, I studied biology. And then I took many, many English courses there in an institute, well-known institute in the 60s, and it still is well-known there in Colombia, Instituto Colombo Americano. So that's where I learned English.
So you said you were born in Colombia. What part of Colombia were you born in?
I was born in a town called Moniquirá, which is very close to Bogotá. But we moved to Bogotá when we were young, so I went to school there in Bogotá.
So when people ask you where do you consider yourself from, what do you usually say?
Well, I am from Colombia.
What do you do currently for a living?
Well, I retired. I'm happily retired now. So what do I do? I do a lot of things. I try to have fun. I'm learning how to play the guitar, something that I always wanted. 2 years ago, I decided to write a book about my family, my history, and then just trying to have fun now that I worked for so many years.
What did you come to do for grad studies here?
Well, I came actually here to New York City because I got a scholarship in botany. My major was in biology, but specialized in botany, so I got the scholarship here from the New York Botanical Garden, and that's when I came to study in 1973. I wanted to go directly into the doctoral program, but I didn't. I went to, and I got my master's degree, and that's when I met my husband there in New York, so we got married, and then he was already, then he got his PhD, and then we moved out of this area, so I finished my PhD later on.
What did you used to do then before you retired?
I did several things. When we went to Brazil, so we talked at the University of Brasilia. Both my husband and I worked there for 5 years. Then we returned here to the States. And Joe, my husband, he had an offer to work for the Department of Agriculture. I didn't have a job, and the children were small, so for a while I didn't work. But then I started looking for different type of jobs, and I got some consultancy. I couldn't find a really permanent job in my area because it was tropical biology and tropical botany, and very few people knew about that. I decided to start doing consultancy. So I did consultancy for several organizations like the World Wildlife Fund, the Nature Conservancy. I did something for the AID and the other organizations. And then after a while, after several years and trying to find jobs, I found that was very stressful and really difficult. With time, it was really harder and harder to find consultancies. And then finally, I worked for the local government in Maryland, where I lived.
How many years have you lived in the United States?
Oh my gosh, I lost count, but since 1973 up to now, almost 48 years, but I was in Brazil for 5 years, so.
Is it safe to assume that your first native language is Spanish?
Yes, it is.
Okay. How many languages do you speak?
Well, Spanish is my native language, English, although I have an accent, and then Portuguese. Also, when I was in high school, I learned French, but I forgot all my French because I have not used it.
So, Christina, do you think that you have an accent?
Oh, I do. I do have an accent. I learned English as a young person, but as an adult, not as a child. And because of that, I have an accent. Yeah. Although I've been trying to get rid of my accent, it doesn't work that way.
Where did you first learn English?
Well, I learned English in high school. Yeah, because we had to study languages, and I took English and French. We had to do that. Yeah, and then I took a couple of courses at the university. But then when I really, really learned English was when I took the courses in this private organization.
Now, I wanted to ask Christina if she wanted to share anything about her native country.
Well, Colombia, I mean, it's well known, but a lot of people, when I came here to the States, very few people really knew about Colombia, and I had to explain to them, you know, first where it was located, that was located in North and South America, that we had three beautiful mountain ranges, and that we had two limiting two oceans, and that Colombia is the only country in Latin America that has areas in the Pacific and in the Atlantic Ocean. And we have a lot of diversity in a lot of our species. And well, Colombia is known for coffee. In my opinion, it's one of the best coffees in the world, but you ask Brazilians or other people from different countries, they will say the same thing, okay? So yeah, we have a lot of varieties of coffees. We have the emeralds, we have gold, and then in the 80s, you know, we were known by because of the guerrilla groups and the cocaine.
Yeah.
We were known for that, and it was a tough time for everybody, for Colombians. Even for me, when I was looking for consultancies, a lot of people would say, oh, you're from Colombia, and guerrillas, and the problems, and things like that. So it was really tough. But anyways, Colombia is a rich country in biodiversity. It's one of the best aspects of my country. People are very friendly. They always help everyone. So yeah, we have different environments. We have the ocean. We have the mountains. We have the forests, and we have so many rivers. You know, we have different climates. So it's great.
Could you tell me about a time or moment in which you became aware or you were made to feel different because of the way you spoke English?
Oh, as soon as I arrived here in the States, I noticed right away, because I thought, when I came here to the States, I thought that I spoke English. Because when I was in Colombia before I came to the States, I used to read a lot of things in English, and even my college friends thought that I was fluent in English, because I used to read and translate for everybody. Oh, no, this is what it says here, and I was telling them. And if an American came to Colombia, to the university, all my professors will say, oh yeah, the one that speaks English is Christina. So I know very basic English, a couple of sentences, but I was happy to help all the young Americans that came to the university. I was asking them questions, they will ask me questions, I will pay attention. So I really learned a lot of English while they were learning Spanish. So everybody thought that I was fluent in Spanish. And in my ego, I thought I'm fluent in English, not only Spanish. Yeah. I arrived to the States and I couldn't even understand what's going on. And I said, huh? What's going on? I'm deaf or what? What is my problem? And I start classes 2 weeks later. I start classes. Oh my gosh, I couldn't even understand what the professor was talking about. So then everybody say, when did you arrive to the States? Where are you from? When they realize that, I said, huh? What's going on? What did you say? Please repeat. So yeah.
Now, Dr. Christina has written a book, so she's obviously adamant about writing. Let's see what else she has to say.
I always thought that was very important in the communication aspect. It was all the time. And then I started taking English classes there before coming here to the States. I remember some of these young professors who were native English speakers. They were talking, so I was paying attention to that. But then when I got here to the States, I realized I was talking too fast and people didn't understand me. So I had to learn to, especially when I was in class or giving a presentation, I learned how to speak a little bit slower than normal. And one of the places that I really learned a lot was in Toastmasters. For many years I participated in a Toastmasters group there in Maryland where I lived.
And can you tell us, for those of us who don't know what Toastmasters is, what is it?
Oh, Toastmasters is an organization that helps you speaking and communicate. And you go step by step, and there are several levels, let's say. You follow the guidelines that they provide you. Feedback, I learned a lot of things about my language issues or my language problems. Something that I learned was that indeed sometimes I would talk too fast. I have to, because in Colombia, in Latin America in general, you speak really fast. So I had to learn how to do that. Also, I learned that you had to be very specific. If the topic that they gave you is, let's say, about your country, you cannot just jump and say, when I was in Brazil or when I was in another country. No, to be really specific.
Can you tell us about an instance that you enjoyed most and you got the most out of it?
Oh, there were many instances, but one that everybody thought that was funny and that I have gone through one of the higher levels was to talk about communications. So I really prepared for that topic. And I thought, communications, in a foreign language, let's see how we communicate. My husband is an American, I'm Latin, so I started telling stories about how difficult it was to communicate with him, and he communicating with me. And everybody loved that, you know. How specific he, my husband, is. He will ask a question, he said, I want an answer right away, specifically. I will ask him something, he will ask me something, and I will go over and over and tell him this about that, and never got to the point. So he will get upset at the end and say, I didn't ask you about to tell me everything about you, just I wanted to tell you about, ask you about A, something like that. So very specific. but it was fun, and I learned a lot. Also in that Toastmasters.
From what you learned, what can you tell us that's different from Latin versus an American, maybe raised person?
There were several things, personalities, but also cultural issues. I would say mainly cultural issues, yes. The big differences are, you know, because there are things that we are used to do that we continue doing for the rest of our lives, and you don't know how that will affect the other person or the other people or your colleagues or whatever. Yeah, cultural aspects indeed.
When you want to talk about your feelings or address, or you get angry and flustered, what is your preferred language in which you say things?
It depends. If I'm mad at my husband, obviously English, but if I'm mad at other people, it's Spanish. So it really depends on the specific situation, but it is easier for me to express anger or relative feeling in my own language, yeah.
Lastly, I wanted to ask Dr. Cristina if she had any closing comments.
And let's see, whoever wants to learn another language, it takes time. It's not something that you learn in one class. It's for a long, long time. And you have to be persistent in learning that language. and you have to continue improving and improving. For example, when I was working on my doctoral degree, I started writing things, and one of the professors, I remember saying, "Christina, you have good ideas, but you really need to improve your English." And I thought, oh my gosh, I have been here in this country for such a long time. I've been writing, you know, for a long time, and still he doesn't think that my English is good. And indeed, I showed to my husband and said, "No, this is lousy English. You have to improve the English." So I had to pay more attention to the language in the way that I was writing. And I had a tutor there at the University of Maryland. I said, okay, I'm going to get a tutor, someone that was volunteering. And then I remember this very nice guy, and we even became friends. He used to travel quite a lot, so he said, okay, I'm going to help you. So what he did was, I'm not going to write anything for you. And I said, I thought you're going to be, you know, reviewing. And I said, yeah, I'm going to review it, but I'm not going to write anything with you. I'm not bringing a pencil or anything like that. Read it, Christina. He will ask me to read and say, pay attention. You're mispronouncing things or you're not doing it correctly. So I really learned that indeed communication is in both ways. But if you communicate verbally correctly, then you're going to write it correctly. So I had to review my grammar again at that time. So yeah, that's the whole point, is that you always improve and improve. I still have my accent. People recognize me right away because of my accent, but I'm improving. And everybody should be improving the communication skills.
Now, I wanted to leave you guys with this piece of information. Colombia is conveniently located in the equatorial tropics, and because of this, it has a diverse topography. With a variety of climates and ecosystems, it boosts its biodiversity, which actually currently accounts for 10% of the Earth's flora and fauna. Now, isn't that amazing? Today's episode was produced by me, Milo Falcone. A very special thanks to Dr. Christina. You can check out her work on Amazon.com or just by searching Maria Cristina Garcia Kirkbride, El Pueblo Dulce y la Hija Pródiga. Until next time!